desire and interest in your prayers today. Isn't that really why we come, why we're here today? Is that it can be well with our soul. If it's not well with our soul, in the final analysis, nothing else matters. Pass away. Eternity stretches out ahead of us. What would you give in exchange? What would a man profit if he gained the whole world but lost his soul? But thankfully this morning, praise God, because of the blood of Jesus, we can have a testimony that it is well with our soul. I want to live my life so that it can be well with my soul. I know today that, very aware, as best as I know how to be, that I can't earn heaven. You can't either. It's not of your righteousness that you're going to be saved today. Even though the enemy would like you to carry that with you through life, struggle, live your life absent soul peace as you continue to try to earn your way into heaven and look in the mirror each day and see areas of your life that you'd like to be different. Feel like that you're never worthy and perhaps just might not make it. Well, the truth is today that you're not worthy. And that we're not going to get in because we have spiritually arrived in all areas and that our works grant us entrance. But it is by the blood of the Lamb. It is because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is a gift to all that are willing to accept that gift into their lives. And with that said, I want to not presume upon the grace of the Lord today. I don't want to just try to accept that gift and proceed and live life however I want to live it, in whatever way my feelings take me, but I want to honor. I want to honor the Lord with my life, don't you? And so we have been studying, thinking about, giving consideration to the ordering of our lives and our homes. And culture in the home. Home culture that we contribute to personally. So I'd like to continue with that. Maybe we'll write the title on the board again. Habits and rhythms of the home. This is part two. Lord willing, there might be a part three. Because I don't think we're going to get done this morning. I'd like to give just a little bit of a review from where we've been. Last Sunday, we read out of the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. And we read verses 4 through 9. We won't read those again for the sake of time today. But God gave Israel an exhortation to put in place some very specific practices, habits, if you will, within a defined rhythm. And the practice, the habit that we read about that the Lord gave to them was teaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God, and that was the practice or the habit, if you will, housed in a rhythm within their lives, and it was brought out in this sixth chapter that that practice was going to be done or should be done when rising, when walking along the way, when sitting, when lying. The Lord wanted the Word of God to be a part of the whole of our life. Why? Because that is where life is. It is where truth is. And when we get outside of truth and we get outside of life, and if we begin to try to compartmentalize and say, well, this is my church part of my life, this is my religion, this is my spiritual God part, and I try to check the list off and do those things so that I can somehow do those things that often we feel are expected by other people. But then over here, well, this is kind of my life over here. This is how I live this part of my life. But when we depart from the Word of God and we depart from truth, we are necessarily beginning to turn ourselves to where there is an absence of truth, where we begin to give ourselves to the absence of life. And so it's not a... it's not something that is beyond expectation for the Lord then to want us to remain within truth and within life in all areas of life. So, he said, teach it. Let it be a part of your life when you get up, when you go on your way, when you rise, when you sit down, when you lie down. Let it be part of the whole of your life. God does not intend for our homes have a real burden for the young people, for the young marrieds, but it's not just for the young people and the young marrieds. It is for all of us that have homes, which means all of us. The Lord did not intend for our homes to be randomly managed. He did not intend for our homes to be managed by default, by feeling of the day. Run your home according to that which seems right to you. But he desires that we institute, that we establish habits, practices, rhythms of the home that nurture, that tend towards Christ, a Christ-centered culture that we might live. And we have responsibility to that. It affects us, you. It affects your children, if you have children. And it affects those that are outside of the house, too. Last Sunday, we established that, tried to set a foundation that the habit is kind of like the what, remember? What is it that you do? What is it that you establish, the practice that you establish? And the rhythm is the how. What you do and how you do it. And that the how is as important as the what. Because we can do a lot of things that in of themselves we can say are technically right. I'm teaching truth. I'm teaching right, but how are you teaching truth? How are you teaching right? Are you holding truth in unrighteousness? Are you using truth as a hammer? Are you trying to stand for what's right in a carnal and stubborn manner? The how is very important. We mentioned last Sunday that you can sing a song that has exactly the same words. I can sing the song and it has the same exact words, and you sing a song with exactly the same words that I did, but it's with a different tune, a different rhythm, a different inflection, a different motivation, and it is a completely different song. And yet one might say, it's the same song as they did. I'm doing what's right. I did what they did. And we didn't do what they did at all. Follow me so far to review. The how is as important as the what. And we also discussed the fact that homes can profoundly be influenced by so many external forces. School, work, neighbors, social media, all manner of things that you can access online. All of those spirits and influences that are at work have a way to come right through your front door and influence your home. And yet God has given it to the leaders and the keepers of the home by His grace and by His help to carry the responsibility of managing the culture that is allowed to develop in your individual home. Amen? It's the parents' responsibility. It's mom and dad. It's the husband and wife. It's not these other. It's not the children. The children are, yes, just as valuable in God's sight as the mom and dad. They have no less value. You are of less value, so I'm going to tell you what you do. That's not what it is, lest there be confusion. There is different authority, different responsibility. Same value in the sight of God, different authority, different responsibility. Parents, mom and dad, husband and wife, don't give away. There's a word, abrogate. Don't evade. Don't yield the responsibility that you have in the home to those that it has not been given to. Because there are a lot of forces that will fill the vacuum. If you allow a vacuum to remain and you don't provide leadership in the home and you're not deliberate and intentional about it, something will fill the space. So it is a large responsibility. May the Lord help us to have wisdom, to be filled with His Spirit, to have understanding on how to do that. So with that brief overview, this morning, we have a few minutes. Sometimes I wish we'd have a lot longer to be able to spend some time on some of these things that touch our lives in such real ways. But we don't have that. We have about 30 minutes. And I have felt impressed to try to slow down a little bit and not try to get it all done at one time and fail to spend the focus and time on some of these very important specific habits and rhythms of the home. And so I'm going to slow down a little bit in this morning. Instead of getting to some of the habits and rhythms that maybe we shouldn't nurture in our homes, we'll focus today on those places that we should. And I also want to just share my heart a little bit that there's a place for preaching principle. There's a place for preaching doctrine, teaching principled doctrines of the Bible. But then sometimes we go away and people wonder, but what does that mean, practically speaking? How does that affect the decisions that I actually have to make day to day? And the scriptures are so faithful to bring out practical application if we'll give ourselves to it. I want to be very careful about ever preaching specifics that are not biblically supported and then teach them for doctrine. You know what I'm saying? Where I stand before you behind what is a very sacred place and teach opinions of man or standards of man as doctrines of Scripture. I want to be very careful about that, because I don't want to do that. But at the same time, there's practical application in the Scriptures on what godly lives look like, what homes look like that have Christ-centered habits and rhythms. And so my burden is that we can spend some time together with some specifics. I don't know of a greater habit of the home than prayer. Is prayer a habit of your home? Is this something that is part of your daily life? Are you planted by the rivers of water where the Lord can speak to your heart and you can speak to the Lord in prayer? Did you know that prayer is not intended to be just a formal event where you gather together and in a very stiff, impersonal way, say a few words and then you can check off that we do prayer in the home? Prayer is intended to be a habit, a practice with a rhythm. The how part, it is a relational. It's from the heart. It's Lord, Lord God, we love you. We need your help. We want your abiding presence. Lord, we want to speak to you throughout the course of the day. It's not just for a few minutes in the morning and just when I go to bed at night, but it is a habit. It's a rhythm. It's a practice that is just part of who I am, where there are words in my heart is in tune with the Lord throughout the day. Amen. It's supposed to be something precious, a responsibility that we can, or a privilege that we have to be in contact with the Creator. And parents, let your children feel that. Prayer is personal and it's precious and it's wonderful, and that is something that they learn to do by example and by observation of your life in the home. Prayer. Scripture. I'm writing these low for a reason. Scripture. Did you know that Scripture, God wants understanding and reading of the Word of God to be a pattern, a practice, a habit of the home? It's the Word of God. It is where truth and life is found. And Scripture is not intended to be a lecture. Parents, don't use Scripture to lecture. There's time for correction. There's time for stern correction. There's a time for that. But let Scripture be a practice and a habit in your home that is something that as your children grow up in the home that they don't fear. That it's not, here we go again. Here comes the discipline through Scripture. Here comes the correction through Scripture. Same with prayer. Be careful that your prayers are not really to God, but directed to somebody else in the house or directed to somebody else in the congregation. Don't use prayer. Don't use Scripture as a hammer, as a method to correct others in a way that causes them to want to draw away from the life-giving nutrients of prayer and of Scripture. You follow what I'm saying? The Lord wants prayer and Scripture to be something beautiful and wonderful and something that we can turn to, that can be part of our lives, that help us find answers that we need in life. Is Scripture a habit of your home? Is it a rhythm? Is the how part, is it something to look forward to? Or is it something, I guess we need to get a couple Scriptures read. I guess we need to do this so that we can say that we're reading Scriptures. God has something more for you than that in Scripture. Family worship, family devotions. Prayer and Scripture are something that we should carry with us when we rise, when we walk by the way, when we sit down, when we go to bed. Don't forget establishing a practice of family devotions in your home. When you all get together of an evening and you prioritize it. Everybody's busy. Everybody has things to do. I know people's schedules are different. I know some of the dads have schedules that don't facilitate some of this just in a perfect manner. But you understand my heart this morning that getting together with your family and listening to the needs of each other, listening to the hearts of one another, having a time together where you worship God as a family is so vitally important and changes the course of families that observe and do these things. Worship service. We're talking about habits and rhythms of the home. I know we have online availability, and I'm so thankful for it. Those that are not able to come, those that are physically not able to come, God has blessings. He knows how to fill in the gaps and things. We face different seasons of life where all of a sudden we're not able to come out. God's not holding us accountable for things that are unreasonable and that we can't do. But brothers and sisters, it is important to make coming to worship service a priority in your families. It's a place to learn. It's a place to grow. It's a place to find encouragement. And you know what? People can say, well, I can get all I need from just watching online. I can just sit at home. I don't have to take the time to go in. It's more efficient that way. And I say this with love. It's not all about you all the time. The Lord has a body, and you have a place in the body. You have a special place that nobody else can fill. And when you're gone, you're missed. And when you're gone, that place is not able to be filled in a way that God can fill it through you. And the Scriptures teach us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So much the more as you see that day approaching, with all the influences that are around, this helps keep our point of view grounded. It helps keep the way that we view life. It helps bring us back in to center, to understand what's most important in life. I'm not talking about the incidents where we're not able to come to service. Yes, of course, that happens to all of us. The Lord does not want us to feel, and I am not endeavoring to cause anyone to feel a guilt trip for that, because I have the same things that happen in my life. I'm talking about a habit. I'm talking about a pattern. I'm talking about a practice. And the how part. We don't want to just come and say, well, I came, but how do we come? How do we have family devotions? Do we have it with heart? Is our heart opened up? How do we read Scripture? Do we read it with an expectation of, Lord, I want to get something for my soul? Is the prayers from our heart, or are they just words? Brothers and sisters, these things right here are intended to be a foundation upon which the Lord wants to build so many other things in our lives. And if you find in your life that things aren't going spiritually like you expected, and you wonder where your victory is, and you wonder why you feel spiritually empty, and we go through seasons of feelings and we can't live by our feelings, but that's not what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of an emptiness, spiritual emptiness, and things that start happening in the home that we know shouldn't be. Did you know one of the very first places that we should look
are these foundational things that God intended, as we read in Deuteronomy, to be a habit and a rhythm of the home, where the Word of God, where He can speak through His Scripture and we listen, where we can pray and communicate with Him, where we can get together as a family and develop a bond in our worship to the Lord and learning, where we come to worship service and receive, where it might have exact answer that you needed, that you missed, because you decided there was something else more important. Again, I'm talking about a habit, talking about a practice. If you're having trouble in those areas, and you're wondering what's wrong, go back and look to see how your prayer life, how the Scripture is part of your life. Are you having family devotions? Are you going to worship service? It's not a check-off thing. It's the how is so important. Amen? Foundational. What else? Teaching and correction. Is there teaching and correction in your home? Did you know that as parents, as mom and dad, the home is intended to be a place to learn the Word of God? The home is a place to learn what good looks like. It's a place to learn what God intends and how He intends for us to live. Because you know what? There's a lot of teaching and a lot of attempted correction that's going on outside of the home. And if teaching and correction doesn't happen in the home, rest assured that it's going to happen outside of the home and is happening. And if you want to have an influence over your children, if you want to be a positive influence and be faithful to your spouse, then be supportive of giving time and space for teaching and correction in the house. And I know that all of these things, we could spend a whole message on each of these topics. And so we're not going to do that by the Lord's help this morning. But we do want to get some of these out in front. Grace practiced. Habit, rhythm of the home. Do you want grace to be applied to your life? Do you depend on the forgiveness of Jesus of your sins? Are you desperate? Brother Ed uses the term a lot. He's desperate to be saved, desperate for the Lord. Do you feel desperate for the grace of God to be applied to your life? I do. And as I said earlier, I'm glad that the Lord's grace abounds, because if it didn't, I'd be a lost boy. Did you know that the Lord wants us to practice grace to those that we live around? To give forgiveness. To give space. To give room when our sense of justice is offended. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get there. Purpose in your heart to make a habit of your home to practice grace. Sins, wrongs addressed. Do you know that it's human nature sometimes that when we do wrong, that if we can, cover it up and we go on. Did anybody see that? Can I get by with it? Do I have to address it? Can we just move on? That was yesterday. This is a new day. Can we just move on? May it be a habit and a rhythm of the home that if you do wrong, Don't try to cover it up. Make it right. We've talked about before, and this is not my phraseology or my terminology. I've heard this at different times. People say that that the three most difficult words in the English language are, I was wrong. Hard to say that sometimes. Be willing to say, make a habit. And not just the what, but how you say it. Humility, the right motive. I was wrong. I am sorry. I didn't do that right. Because if you don't, yes, another day comes. But these things that are covered in sweat continually, where we fail to say I was wrong, will you forgive me? They have a way of making it very difficult for the other party. It can cause bitterness. It can cause distance. It can cause trouble in marriage, trouble with children. And parents, if you do wrong to your children and you mess up, it's right, even though they are your children, to say, son, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I didn't do that right. I'm sorry. Make that a habit and a rhythm of your home. Thanksgiving. Is your home one of Thanksgiving?
Did you know that it is so easy to always focus?
I know from experience, and I'm human, and I have to work on this.
You always look at what you don't have. You always look at what can be better. You always look at what didn't go right. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to praise God for. Have a home. Have habits and rhythms of the home, that this is a home of Thanksgiving. We're thankful for what we have. We're thankful that it wasn't what it could have been. We're thankful to God for His many blessings. We don't just take for granted everything that we do have and focus on the things that we don't have. But we're thankful. Generosity and service. Is it all about you? Is it all about what you want? What are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And what was the second one that's likened unto it? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And yet, if you allow the teaching of the world teaches, the billboards promote, it's all about you. It's all about satisfying you, for the most part, in general. I know it's not like that everywhere. But broadly speaking, it's what satisfies you. Go do what's going to make you happy. And if you're not really careful, you can allow that to become a culture in your home where everybody's trying to maximize what they can do to make me happy. Teach in your home. Celebrate the opportunity and the privilege to serve. Not as a burden, not always as a cross. Children, this is serving the Lord. We need to get up now. I know we want to do this, children, but we need to set it to the side. And I know it's hard, but if we're going to be Christians, we're going to have to, we don't get to do our way. And if you're not careful, your children will grow up thinking that service and generosity to other people is just a big black burden, and you never get to do anything you want. Allow service. Be a service-oriented, where we have a privilege. God has given us a privilege to serve other people. He's given us something we can give and help make somebody's life better. And just look at the results of that. And you children, you have the capacity by the help of the Lord who's given you talents in these different areas. Look what a change you can make on those that are around you to give. You see the difference between that? Lord, help us to have a service-oriented heart. We're about out of time. Stewardship. Don't spend what you don't have to spend. Don't go out and give yourself and spend money that you don't have to spend when it's just, it's a want. We've got all these wants. And people want to go out and they're home, they're trying to accumulate and bring in all of their wants when they don't have it to spend. And you think, well, is that just a seminar, you know, a financial management subject? No, it becomes spiritual very quickly. When we're not good stewards of what God has given to us, when we're not good stewards of what He hasn't seen fit to give us, it can cause so much trouble in the marriage. It can cause so much spiritual trouble when you burden yourself with all kinds of debts to fund the things that you want, rather just the things that you need. Or you spend so much that you're not able to give. And your giving just becomes whatever's left over. Well, I really don't have anything to give. I mean, that's all I have to give. But the reason you don't have anything to give is because it's all about me. And then other people that maybe don't have and need, they're not being blessed by your life because you're not service oriented. And then your children grow up and they don't learn the value of being good stewards of what God has given you or what He hasn't given you. Take care of what you have. The things that God has given to you, take care of them. If you don't take care of the things that God has given you, you know what kind of reflection that is to your children? Oh, it's not that important. Oh, you don't really have to take care. It's not. And then it can bleed over into the spiritual areas of your life where it's like, oh, I don't know if it's that important. I mean, I've got it. Happy. If I need it, I'll use it. Otherwise, out of sight, out of mind. Lord, help us be good stewards of what God has given to us. And now, for an additive. An additive to this foundation. You know that foundations have additives put in them sometimes. I'm talking literally now. Sometimes they put additives in concrete. If it's really cold outside and you want the concrete to set up, sometimes they'll put an additive in the concrete to make it hot, and so that it will cure regardless of the environment that it's around. We're going to put an additive in to help make this thing do what it's supposed to do. And I want to speak to an additive to this foundation. An additive to this foundation is love, hugs, acts of care and affirmation. Last Sunday we spoke about the scripture in the first Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And you remember what it said about what happens when there's no charity? Even when it was talking about prophesying and giving your body to be burned for religious purposes and doing all of these wonderful, though I have the way to just speak these wonderful words of life and it sounds so good, but if there was something missing, love, What did it say that it all became? As a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Empty noise. And I cannot stress enough that love and expression of love is an additive. The Lord wants it to be integrated in our prayers, in our scripture reading, in our family devotions, in our worship services here, to where we don't use these as avenues just for correction. Well, I can't wait to worship tonight. I've got a scripture. It's what they need, and I'm going to hammer it home. And then we wonder why our children grow up and are bitter. We wonder why our children grow up and really don't have that much interest in coming to service. If they come to service, if we have family devotions, if we read scripture, if our prayers are absent, love and care, then our prayers and our scripture reading and our family devotions and yay our worship services. People can come in here, and if all that they sensed, and I don't believe that this is the case here, but if all they sensed when they come in that there's a people and they're a judgmental people, and they're going to be looking and they're going to be finding to see if there's anything that looks out of place or wrong, and if going to see if you're measured up, and if you're not measured up according to what they think you're measured up, then you might be allowed through the front door, but you sure aren't one of us. And who wants to be part of that? How does that draw anyone? Jesus Christ draws with love. He draws with love. He wants us to be a congregation that while we preach the truth, and by the help of the Lord, I want to preach the truth and I don't want to leave anything out. I want to preach it all. But I want all of us to preach and teach with love and care. And let folks know that. People say, well, they know I love them. Have you told them? Well, they know I care. Do they feel it? Or is it just something that you say, I know what's supposed to be, but what about the how part of it? I don't want to live my life where I spend a whole lot of time holding righteousness and truth in a way that is unrighteous and turns people away. It's one of the biggest turnoffs that you can get is to present scripture, prayer, church in the wrong way. You want to turn somebody away from God? Have that combination. Lord, help us all. Do you see how these things contribute to home culture? You see the importance of having these things in our homes and practices, habits and rhythms that we can develop and nurture a Christ-centered culture. And who again is responsible? Who is ultimately responsible for this? It's not the children. They have a place. It's not the outside world. Mom and dad, it's you. Husband and wife, it's you. This is your responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a privilege given to you to have a home, and you can make it a home that is godly and a place where life can be found. Now, a confession as we conclude. I haven't arrived in all areas. I still have land to possess, personally. But to us all today, let's be encouraged to continue to press on for those things that we know is right. If we're lacking, if there's something we're not doing quite right, don't be discouraged.
The Lord is there to help. He's there to forgive. He's there to help fill the gaps that you can't fill. Guard against those things that interfere with seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because our lives and the lives of our children and those that we influence depend on it. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Amen.